Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our beings fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
Let me just take this opportunity to wish every mother out there a very, very happy Mother's Day. You know, I know that this year it's a bit different, but you know, you're still the same great godly mothers that you always have been. It is wonderful to have a godly mother. And our church is full of godly mothers. So once again, happy Mother's Day. God's Word says in the great book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord." Today's message is Focusing on Mom, a Biblical Perspective. You know, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Now, I know that you've heard that old saying time and time again, and there's a lot of truth to it. But I don't think we should try to make mama happy in a godly home because we want to keep down trouble. We should try to make her happy because she deserves it, especially those mothers who love God. And we could go on and on about that. This is the first Mother's Day that is like this. Again, I'll use the word that we've used several times. It is unprecedented. Who would have ever thought that we would have a service like this on Mother's Day? When's the last time we had a service like this on Mother's Day? How about never? It's just an unprecedented celebration today. So it'll be one that I'm sure all of us will remember. This is actually, on a personal note, an unprecedented Mother's Day for me because it's really the first Mother's Day where my own mama is no longer here on earth but is now in heaven with God. And I know that there are others who have watched their mamas within this year go to be with the Lord. You know, my mother lived a long life. God blessed her with many years. She was 89 years old. She just turned 89 years old, and many of you know that. And when we had her funeral, it was really a time of joy, knowing her wit and how she was. She was pretty much a clown. Of course, I didn't inherit that from her. I'm so serious and so refined. We both received the superlative in high school of being the wittiest. So I guess I got it honestly. But her funeral was a time of joy. And it was a time where we rejoiced, and there was a lot of laughter there at the funeral, and appropriately so. And I could go on and on and on about my mother, starting from her funeral and going backwards, and talk about how delightful she was. And I'm sure that all of us could stand here right now and just brag on Mama. But today, as a matter of fact, all of life, every moment of it, is really not about Mama, as good and as sweet and as wonderful as our mothers are. It's really about the Lord. And it's the Lord that lived in my mama and perhaps your mama that made the difference in their lives, that made them who they were and what they were. So as we turn to God's Word once again, to focus on an aspect of a section of Scripture that's familiar to us, on what a godly family looks like. As we consider this sixth chapter of Ephesians, verses 1 through 4, we're going to just sort of pull Mama out, so to speak, to get a biblical perspective of her one more time. The word mother there in verse 2 of Ephesians 6 is the Greek word mater. Mater. Now that sounds like a familiar word to us. Isn't that the little round red fruit that grows on a vine that we slice up and make sandwiches out of? Yes, that is what we call it. Actually, it's a tomato, but we here call them maters. Well, that's the same Greek word that's used for mother here in this passage, mater. So let's make some mater connections this morning. Let's talk about what a mother is. A mother, according to this passage, first of all, is a parent. She also is not just a parent, she is to be obeyed. Not only is she a parent and to be obeyed, she is to be honored. Also, a mother, or the role of motherhood, is a biblical role. A mother is to be nurturing as she partners with her husband. And sometimes a mother is a sole proprietor. She's by herself in this endeavor. So she's a parent, she's obeyed, she's honored, she's biblical, she's nurturing as a partner to her husband, and sometimes she's the sole proprietor. Let's talk about those things. Let's talk about the fact that, first of all, she is a parent. Children, obey your parents, one of which is your mother. Now, when we talk about a family consisting of course, children, but a mother and a father, that is an ideal situation. And we'll talk about this ideal family at this point. It doesn't mean that a family that's different from that is not a good family, but this is the ideal. A godly family, as we see here, an illustration of it, a picture of it, and some instruction on how to have one, consist also of responsible kids. They're responsible to obey their parents. They're responsible to obey their mother, who spends a lot of time with her kids. MacArthur says that parents are agents of the Lord, and rightly so, they certainly are. God puts parents over children. They have a role. A mother has a role over her child, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and the variations of that in just a few minutes. So she is a parent. Number two, she is to be obeyed. As we see there in verse 1, we are to, kids are to, obey their parents. We all were to at one time or another, and even when we are not obeying them as little kids, we still honor them. But we are to, kids are to, as I should say, obey our parents. Children have that responsibility. And God is the one who gives them that responsibility. Kids have a role in a godly family, And they are to, according to God's word, they are to render acts of obedience. Now, just parenthetically speaking, and very quickly, kids are kids. And they're not mature enough sometimes to understand all that they need to understand. They have a tendency to go astray. And the younger they are, the more they have that tendency. So we're talking about kids that are growing up and learning these things. So it is a process. And certainly kids, like the rest of us, are not perfect. But they are to render acts of obedience. And it says to do this in the Lord. That phrase is very, very important. Because it simply means to do it according to the word of God. And he says, this is right. In that we are obeying the word of God, that is actually what makes it right. God, understand this, God doesn't comply with right or righteousness. He actually establishes it. And so as he's established righteousness, he certainly will function according to his own righteousness. And his word that he gives us, that he reveals to us, is the precedent, or it is the basis, I should say, of how we're to live. So when we do God's word, then we're doing right. So kids are to do right and obey their mother. Another thing that's so important is that a mother should be honored, as we see in verses 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother, that's the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So she is to be honored. Now, that is more than just an action. Obedience is really an action. This also involves an attitude. It goes much deeper than an action. We can render obedience, which we should, to our parents, and kids should certainly do that, but they should honor them because they love them, because it's the right thing to do, and it has to do with their attitudes towards them. And that's what we desire, is for a child to have the right and a righteous, a godly, a God-wrought attitude towards their parents, and that is to continue through their whole lives. We are to honor our parents, even when we are grown and they are much older than us. We are to honor them. God gives us some incentive here. He says that we'll have a good life and a long life, or that kind of obedience and honor does render that kind of life. When we're young, she, mother, father too, but she, we're talking about mothers today, she takes care of us and we obey her. But when she's old, we take care of her and we thus honor her. So think about that. When we're young, she's taking care of us, we're obeying her. When she gets old, it's our responsibility to lovingly take care of her and to honor her. Honoring and obeying mother is actually honoring and obeying God, and that is our ultimate aim. As a matter of fact, the best way to honor your mother is to serve God faithfully. And part of serving God faithfully is honoring your mother. So it's pretty clear we should honor our mother. This motherhood is not something that she thought up, or that another man or a man or anybody else thought up. It's a biblical position given to women from God. In Exodus chapter 20 and other places, we read how God commands, and this particular first verse here and this particular passage is based on those commands from the Old Testament. We're commanded to obey our parents, to honor our mother and our father. We are complying with God's word when we honor and obey mom. So it's a biblical position, and God has a command to support that position. There's a command involved here and a promise also from God in regard to this wonderful, wonderful thing of motherhood. Now, I want to tell you, personally speaking, that I saw my mother take care of her mother. You've heard me mention my grandmother before. We called her Dondi. Now, I think my brother came up with that name, and I don't know how he came up with it, but that was her given name, or the name that we called her, I should say. But Dondi was 94 years old when she died. And from before I was born until the time that I left the nest and was married with children, my grandmother lived with my parents. She lived with my mama and my daddy. And they took good care of her, and she did a whole lot as well. But I saw my mama honor her mother. And she only lived in a nursing home for just a few weeks before she died because her health was so bad that they could not give her the care that she needed. So she was there in a nursing home for just a few weeks, and she passed away. She went to be with the Lord. But my mother took care of her mother for all of those years. And my mother was blessed with long life as well. She lived to be 89 years old. So I've seen God honor that. I've seen God bless a person for loving and honoring their parents. Another thing that a mother should make sure that she's doing is that she should make sure that she's nurturing her children. Verse 4 says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Very important verse of Scripture. And of course, it's to fathers generally speaking. That is the reference there, fathers. Because fathers are the head of the home. But mothers work as partners with fathers in the rearing of children. She is under, if it's an ideal home, and should be under, the headship and the authority of her husband. So she is working with him to accomplish this, to accomplish not provoking them to anger. There's a time to discipline your kids, but it must be done in a godly manner, not in a mamby-pamby, overly compliant manner, because the kids don't run the home, but in a manner that expresses love and doesn't cross any lines that would render them as those who abuse their kids. That's wrong as well. But they are to deal with their kids and discipline them when they need it in the right way, of course. And a mother is part of that. And if she's valued by her husband, as the Bible says in Ephesians 5, to love your wives as husbands, then you know it's going to work better. When mothers and fathers are fulfilling their roles as God has given them, then the whole household is going to work better. And the rearing of the children is going to work better. God doesn't promise us that it's going to be easy and trouble-free. We live under a curse and it's there, but we can overcome in Christ and as we walk in the Spirit. She is obeying God when she complies here, when she, along with the Father, doesn't provoke her children to wrath, but brings them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. She obeys God by teaching them the Word of God and exposing them to the Word of God. I spoke of that a week or so ago when we looked at 2 Timothy. We talked about Timothy's mother and grandmother, his mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois, and how they certainly nurtured him in the admonition of the Lord. That's exactly what a mother should do. Now, in the time that Paul wrote this, and even in the pagan culture, not just the Jewish culture, but in the pagan culture, there was a strong sense of a patriarchal culture. And of course, in a biblical marriage, there are roles to play. But it is never that a father is a person who dictates everything and who rules with an iron rod. He should be respected. He should be stern along with the mother. We should all play our roles, biblically speaking, as God would have us to, as He prescribes. But a biblical marriage follows God's prescription, and it trumps man's traditions and man's superstitions. So even though Paul wrote this in the midst of a patriarchal society, he was not saying that men should rule with the iron fist. But he's saying that there should be a cooperation here, a fulfilling of roles. And so he speaks to this father, but underneath that father is this mother. And they are to discipline their children with the word of God. They are to speak it to them, teach it to them, live it out in front of them, because as 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us, the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. That's what a child needs, and they need that from their parents. They need that from their mother. Let me quote you something from William MacDonald's commentary, and he is actually quoting Susanna Wesley, who of course was the mother of many, two of which were John and Charles Wesley. John being a great preacher, Charles being a great songwriter. And this is what Susanna Wesley said. She said, "The parent who studies to subdue self-will in his child works together with God," I love that, "in the renewing and saving of a soul. The parent who indulges it does the devil's work, makes religion impractical, salvation unattainable, and does all that in him lies to damn his child, soul and body, forever." Now, I want to tell you something. We as Baptists don't believe in women preachers. The scripture doesn't support women preachers. But I want to tell you, that was preaching. As a matter of fact, that's probably stronger preaching that you would ever hear from anybody today. That was solid advice. I mean, cut to the chase. She told it like it was. It's exactly right. We should rear our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And mothers are very responsible there. But then finally, sometimes, and sometimes it's sadly so, but a mother has to be the sole proprietor. The text doesn't mention this, doesn't mention a single mother here, but biblically speaking, if she is alone for whatever reason, and there are a variety of reasons why she is sometimes left alone to raise children, to rear children, she still is responsible as a godly woman to do what God's word says. Now, again, it's ideal when there's a man and a woman in a family who love God and love each other. But that's not always real. It's ideal, but not always real. And again, for various reasons. Sometimes it can be a woman whose husband has died and she's not remarried. Sometimes it can be because of a nasty divorce where there's fault on both sides. Sometimes it can be where the man abandons his family. The mother is not at fault, but she's left behind to take care of the kids. It can be for many, many reasons. But wherever a family is, it is for them. It is for a mother in particular, in a situation like this, to turn to God, to repent of any sin in her life, to get her life right with God, and to start from there, and to do what God instructs her from His Word. You see, it is not God's fault when marriages fall apart. But understand this, she, although she might be at fault in a nasty divorce, she, if she's a godly person, she's still God's child, and she is responsible to follow Him. So, although a family situation might not be ideal, it's very real. Single mothers are out there all around us. Where I grew up in Southwest Georgia, there was a strong sense of and the presence of a matriarchal society where the mother is in charge. And many times it was because in certain cultures, biological fathers would leave their family and just leave the mother behind to take care of kids. I remember as a school teacher there in Georgia that sometimes when kids were belligerent, if I or maybe another teacher would threaten to call their mother, they would just melt. And if we happened to get mama on the phone and you heard mama talk to that child would just break because they had such respect, maybe even fear, for their mother. I remember where I grew up, I learned a lot of what we call yo mama jokes. such as, your mama wears combat boots. Or here's one, your mama's so fat that when she steps on a scale, the scale says, one at a time, please. Now, I know that's cruel. I understand that. I'm not trying to be cruel, just a little funny here. But I did learn some your mama jokes or yo mama jokes. Now, I grew up in a society. My family was blessed with mother and father, but so many of my friends, they didn't have both parents in the home. But you know, I saw mothers, and I still see mothers today, do the best they can and still rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I commend those mothers. Some families have both parents, and they're still broken. And some only have mama, and they're just as godly as they can be. But I want to say this to you, and I speak to the church here. Sometimes mama, when she's the sole proprietor, when she's by herself raising kids, she's doing all she can to comply with God's word. Sometimes she needs help. And a godly extended family should come to her aid and her rescue and help her. And a godly church should as well. Sometimes a woman doesn't have a family or an extended family to turn to. Sometimes she has to come to the church, and the church should play the role of promoting her and supporting her. They should always seek to promote godly motherhood and to help ensure that godly motherhood. So yes, the church has a role in this as well. So a mother should desire to be a godly mother. As a parent, as one who is to be obeyed by her children and honored by her children, as one who has a God-given biblical position with a command attached to it, she should certainly seek to work with her husband, if she has one, to bring those kids up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know, the first thing that needs to happen if a mother is to be a godly mother is for that woman to be a godly person. First thing that needs to happen in that woman's life is for her to come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I would say to you now, if you do not know Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, I want to remind you, if you've not heard this before, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became the Son of Man. He assumed, He took on, He wrapped Himself in human flesh. And after 33 years of perfect living, wonderful preaching, tremendous miracles, He did what He came to do. He died on a cross. He was crucified for you and for me. He paid the price for our sins. And He was buried in a tomb, and He arose on the third day, and He lives. And He says that whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. If we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as Lord of our lives and say unto Him, God, I repent of my sins, I turn away from everything else and turn to You and trust You fully, God says He will save us. So I would say to you today, mother, child, husband, man, woman, boy or girl, if you don't know Jesus, would you turn to Him now? My prayer is that He would convict your heart and draw you to Himself and save your soul. And if that happens in your life, please let us know about it. Call us here at Riverside Baptist Church, Waynesville, North Carolina, 828-648-4709. Give us a call. Let us know what Christ has done for you. We want you to become a part of a God-fearing, Bible-preaching church, to take the mark of baptism as you identify with Christ as your Savior and your Lord, and be a faithful member of that church. We want that for you. But for those of you who are already godly mothers, I would just encourage you to take heed to what Ephesians 6 tells you. It speaks to the family, but it speaks specifically to the mother when we just pull her out and say, what is God saying to mama here? Let it speak to your heart today. Be a godly mother. Be a biblical mother. And you husbands and you children, you help her be. You do all you are supposed to do and be all that you're supposed to be to make that happen. And hey, as you're doing that, let's make this unprecedented Mother's Day, make it the best Mother's Day ever. Because more than that, it is the Lord's Day. Father, we love you. We praise you. And we pray that God, as we've looked into your word a little bit today, as we've considered Ephesians chapter 6, these first four verses, as we take this look at this godly family, oh God, we know that mama's in there. And God, we celebrate this day and call it Mother's Day. We know it predominantly and overwhelmingly is the Lord's Day. But we take this opportunity to preach the word of God in regard to motherhood once again, Lord. And we just pull mama out of that passage and look at her as to what God would say about her. Thank you that she is this person who is this parent, this person, God, that is to be honored by her children. She is this person, God, that is in a biblical position. She is working with her husband, if she has one, to nurture her kids. If she doesn't, God, she's working to nurture her kids and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what she's doing, God, even if she's alone in this. So thank you so much for these godly mothers. And Father, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would save those who are lost today. Bring them to a right relationship with you, a saving relationship with you. And Lord, just revive godly motherhood. And we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you later.